Right, good evening. Welcome along to the Day Trippers, the Monday Club podcast in association with Skillzone Sandyford. Up next, we have an advertisement from our sponsors.
So, Kevin, what would you say your main skills are?
Rugby, soccer, Gaelic, tennis, climbing, basketball, shooting, golf, baseball and hanging tough.
Test your sports skills at Skillzone, Ireland's first multi-sports indoor circuit. Be the first to get 100 points and you'll also win €10,000. Skillzone Sandyford. See skillzone.ie. T's and C's apply.
So anyway, there's the advertisement from the sponsors, Skillzone. Get down to Skillzone Sandyford, great spot to go for like a stag party or a bit of a crack with the lads, or of course the World Games if you fancy taking on some of those events that are there. Up tonight in the podcast, we talk about Coutinho, we talk about the squad, we talk about the season ahead, we look at the Champions League, and we also see why Andy thinks we're going to win the league and the Champions League double in the same time, and also what your favourite song will be. And there's going to be just random stuff all over the shop with this, because let's be frank, these podcasts are a load of shite when there's no Liverpool matches to talk about. So anyway, keep listening and tell all your friends to come and listen to us as well. So in tonight we've got Shawnee FC, we've Andy, Steve-O, and we have myself. And if you're looking at the Periscope, you would have seen loads of crack that went on. And so here's a quote, and God knows where the podcast starts. First of all, I want to talk about Coutinho. I want to talk about him.
So right, asked the question about Coutinho. I know. Asked our listeners.
Stephen, shut up.
We asked people who are watching this to ask us questions, and then they ask us questions.
No, hang on a second.
Shut up asking questions.
Shut up, Stephen. Shut up, Stephen, with your questions from listeners
any
and
questions,
viewers.
Lads, question. Shut up.
If you have a question, come on the pod. If you've got a question, come on the pod. Otherwise, fuck off, leave me alone. Anyway, I know I didn't ask viewers for questions. That was Jamie.
I did.
So Jamie isn't here.
I
so
told
fuck
him
off.
To get involved with us tonight. Throw some questions.
Oh, right, grand. Yeah, because I love viewer interaction. Right, so Coutinho, lads. The overall situation, I want to talk, we can come back to where he goes in against City at the end of it, but the overall situation, we've been left in a position where he hasn't gone, he's still a footballer at the club. How do you address this as a manager? The lads last night were on the fat back four because they're all fat. It's more or less said that they more or less haven't let him straight back into the squad, except Grizz, who knew a few about it, and he said that he thinks that Klopp will actually sort of alienate him for a bit. How would you address it?
How would I address it? Was the manager
Andy? Yeah,
just put him straight back in.
Straight back in.
No nonsense.
Straight back in.
You wouldn't, though, Andy.
What?
You wouldn't.
What do you mean? I wouldn't.
You wouldn't do that. You're saying that because you're not the manager. But if you had 24, 25 other players to handle who are looking at somebody who down tools, faked injury, said he wanted out, threw the toys out of the pram.
You're making a lot of assumptions there.
So he didn't fake an injury?
Well, he might have had an agreement with Klopp that that's the way they were going to play it out. It wasn't a healthy situation for the squad at the time. So
Why would you play it that way? Why wouldn't you just keep on playing football until you got your move?
Because Klopp wants everyone committed. His head's turned, so he doesn't want them around. That's another possibility. Like, we don't know. Like, a lot of the stuff that came out was Barcelona driven, the agent driven. Coutinho is not going to come out and say and disrupt all that. Oh, by the way, my agent's lying. He still wants his move. I'd say he's embarrassed about the whole situation.
Yeah.
So he's no choice now. Like, as the lads were saying last night, like, Klopp does hold all the cards, so he has to try and do his best to reverse the situation and make it as best possible for him until he does get the move, whether it's next summer or it's July.
It does look like Barry's put a bit of pressure on him now, doesn't it?
They tried to do the same thing with Dembele.
I had absolutely no problem with Coutinho doing what he was doing at the start. The timing was poxy, like the day before the first game of the season. Not the best time to happen.
No.
From what Chara had said on BT, like, it seems like Barca turned around and gave Coutinho an ultimatum. And I think that's what put the shits up him.
Made him panic.
Make him basically said, like, it's now or never. So I think that's why Coutinho. But then when, like, he fakes injury before, like, the two biggest games, the Champions League games. Now, like you said, we don't know, Andy, but we only assume. Another thing that came out is, and you take that with a pinch of salt as well, the reason FSG released a statement to say that he wasn't leaving because the scans came back and showed that there was actually nothing wrong with his back, and they just wanted to block whatever was coming, because they obviously said, look, if there's nothing wrong with him and he doesn't want to play, that's not a good sign. Yeah. Because, like, the Leicester pre-season game or the Bayern pre-season game? One of the... When it all like start kind of dripping through the
Dublin one. The Dublin one was the first time he was injured.
When was the first bid though?
The first bid was after that.
First bid didn't come till
the injury started.
Till the one, till like the
he looked
first
like
game of the
he looked like yeah. the young fella who you just told that Santa Claus isn't real anymore. Like yeah. and he
we
was
have
walking
a lot of
around.
Young listeners, Sean, and we'd like to retract that comment. Like,
that's just figure of speech. Yeah. No, but he did look like he was walking around with like there was something wrong with him. And I think Steve Brown said it. He is the type of player who does play like football owes him something. Like he doesn't really, he's not like Salah. Like every time you look at the fucker. He's ear to ear grinning, walking around like when he's got like Coutinho does seem like a grumpy little bastard.
No, he was like that grinning. Like if you go back to when Rodgers was in charge, and it's only really last season I think we've seen the kind of difference in his body language. I know everyone tried to make a lot out of body language, but it's
visible.
It turns out,
yeah,
he may actually have been a little bit unhappy. I know he signed in a contract extension in January, yeah, but that who's not going to sign a contract extension to get more money? And it did us a favour because it made our bargaining power. To prevent him leaving, so he did us a favour signing, but at the same time he hasn't looked as happy self. He probably has a pain in his bollocks.
Yeah, and I just think like the show coming from Brazil then, like Neymar saying great anguish and all, like get fucking on, mate. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's on buttons. He's playing in a team that we're not shy. Do you know what I mean? This isn't like the 14-15 team where we are going into the Champions League and the squad was all over the gaff, yeah, like, and Suarez was had to leave him. We're going in the right direction. Mm. And I understand he wants to leave.
Yeah.
But he owes us at least one more season, you think?
Yeah, everybody has to understand that if you're outplaying the rest of your team and a club, massive upgrade, a club who's probably always dreamed of playing, he's on the radar. Yeah. You can't prevent them wanting something.
You can't have things you can't have,
and to be prevented like that, you're going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
Can I ask, like, why would we let him walk straight back into the team? Now, I hear the argument that, you know, he's probably our second best player in the hold up. Let's look at that team as an attacking force. Yeah. He's going to be brought in as an attack player, right? Mm. The way the team has played over the last three games, who are you dropping for him?
The City game, right? We can get away and not put him back in, but I think a game like Burnley at home, the next home game, that'll be the type of game where we need Coutinho, when there's two banks of four and we need him to break them down.
Well, actually, the Burnley game is probably one, I'd say, of all the teams that they're probably going to come and have a go at us. Like, they're not, like, Deutsch's teams tend to try.
They'll be the type of games where we're going to need a player like Coutinho. Like, now, in fairness, going forward, we haven't missed them.
This is my point.
Now, that's not to say we're not a better team without him in there, but we haven't missed him.
I think Lallana has a bigger impact in those games where we're playing against rubbish teams.
Oh, Coutinho's won us more games though.
Shock emoji.
Coutinho's won us
more games. Loads of them.
So you're just saying shit to stir the shite, basically, to get things going. I understand that.
No, I'm not.
Absolute bollocks.
Coutinho's
won us an awful lot of points.
You're not being genuine.
I am being genuine.
You're not.
I am, because if Coutinho's going into a role where he's playing in the
many, many years, you're not being genuine.
I am.
I think it'd be hard.
You
to
think that?
I want to see Coutinho's career rot away now, though.
Yeah, but forget all of that. You're saying that Adam Lallana is more influential in those sort of games. You're genuinely saying this, not just for the sake of a reaction, which you're getting, or just for a bit of crack.
Look at
you're
the
saying
gun.
It. No, I'm asking him. I know. So I'm asking him out straight. You think Adam Lallana, because I like to get these things on record.
You on your
I'm asking you out straight, live now. Are you saying that you think Adam Lallana is more influential?
Oh, yeah.
That's a great show.
I do. In those games, yes, I do. I think he breaks the lines better.
Right.
We're using dead terms now as well, are we?
Yeah.
Breaking lines.
Breaking the lines!
With the low, against, like, the low block.
Against the low block.
Against, like, the low block.
This is like Fox Sports Network, well, fucking upper body strikes.
If you think of the only game I can ever remember Lallana playing in, the one where he won against Norwich and he scored in the 900th minute, it was like, that's what he's good for. Those teams.
What's the concern if he brings him back in that the rest of the squad go, oh, like, Klopp's an easy touch, I'm going to kick
off. Yeah, that's
now.
Good, but I don't think
that happens. No. For me, as I said, look, it's a personal thing now. Coutinho went on strike, he faked injury. That, to me, is just, like, that's unforgivable, right? Suarez, if you want to compare it to the Suarez just came out straight and said, I want to leave.
Yeah.
Right? And when he was, when his ban went up, he went straight back into the team. He didn't go on strike. He could have done anything.
He ran
could
him have up. Done yeah, he ran but, him up.
Yeah, and ran him up instead.
Do you know what the shy thing is? Like, this, before all this came out, like, this was the year where I was expecting Coutinho to be an absolute menace and to earn his move away.
Yeah, I actually thought we'd get him our season out of Mies.
I think everybody thought that.
I need that happening. I thought he still wasn't ready for Barca. But shit's just gone downhill at Barca and they desperately need him now. Yeah.
It's shite that he wasn't there when, like, all that we didn't need him for the Champions League qualifiers. Had they have gone wrong, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and he would have been one of the players that turned in. We are lucky enough to say now that we coped around him.
Let's bring in the viewers again here, because P Stanley 123 has said, you don't think getting paid $200,000 a week and missing our most important games when fit is not wrong?
Oh, it's wrong. It's 100% wrong. It is wrong. But at the end of the day, Steve, are we going to just let him sit there and rot on the bench?
No one's saying let him sit and rot on the bench, but the club have made a stance. You are. And some other people.
Put him on the bench. But stick him in Enrique's pit. That's still somewhere.
Here's the thing, right? The club have made a stance.
Give Woodborne the number 10.
The club haven't made a stance of not selling him for the sake of putting him in the reserve. They've made a stance to show that Liverpool aren't going to be a selling club. This isn't even about Coutinho.
No.
This is about saying we're not going to have other clubs coming in and cherry picking our best players the season we finally get back into the Champions League after a few years out. And that's why it was done. And I'm sure things will be smoothed out. I'm sure Klopp and him will iron things out very quickly. Spend a game or two
if he fizzes one in the top corner on Saturday morning, a lot of people will be
will forgive him, but he's not going to just come back in like that. He hasn't trained. Klopp, I don't believe he will come back in. Klopp doesn't tend to work that way from what we've seen, and from what you can see so far, is he hasn't trained with the club.
Obviously,
what
will happen is Klopp is going to assess his attitude in training. That's what I reckon.
But he's not going to have enough time to assess it, because he's only back on Thursday.
A couple of weeks. Yeah. So if Klopp sees he's employing himself and it's like the Coutinho of old, well, then he'll integrate him into the squad.
Oh, why wouldn't he?
Yeah. If not, well, then it's something.
Wait until his attitude is right. And then
anyway, lads, back this week, we've got a match ahead of us against Manchester City. And this is the podcast. See, Andy, do you see the way we do those cut type of things?
Yeah, but you see my cut. I went like this.
Oh, no, you sat back.
Then you were back
and then
you
jumped back in just in time. Yeah. That was very impressive.
Model professional.
That's how you do it.
He's been getting a lot of tips off Miriam O'Callaghan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it in your stance, your posture, everything.
Yeah. The same colour hairs are as well.
Yeah, but two grazers.
Yeah. She's bigger shoulders than you.
Andy, for the record. For the record, the Fat Four lads wanted him.
He nearly jumped. Go on.
I said yesterday that you're the oldest of us all.
I'm only the baby.
Do you want to clarify this? What age are you?
I don't know. 36?
I don't know.
What age are you? I don't know. Ask me, Matt.
Stop counting years ago.
And so how are you the baby?
After Sean.
Yeah.
How old are you?
35.
Fuck off.
Yeah, seriously. Look at this fucking grey hair.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, so.
So what, you're trying to make out like you look young.
I didn't say that.
And young boy nature.
That's because you get your eyebrows waxed and all that.
No, I tweezed them myself. You don't even shave your balls. What's the story there? You still have your confirmation pubes down there. Give me grief.
Right, so Andy, you're 36. I'm trying to put the in order of ages and stuff in the group. Who's I think Ray is the eldest.
Ray's the eldest.
43. Trav used to be
before he died.
Well, before he died. Resurrected, died, and resurrected again. I'm the next one, I think. I'm 40. Yeah.
Then Damo,
yeah, he's 40 as well.
Who's Damo?
This isn't live, is it?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
We're doing a live podcast now.
We do the first bit live. Do you not remember all the things you were doing the last few weeks?
No,
I don't be minding them.
He's normally drunk when he shows up. Neil, for any guards out there, if you wanted to do an old checkpoint out there in the Astro Park, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Anyway, look, moving on, we mentioned it there.
Here's Razor's joint.
Oh, that's great.
All right, Ray.
Our squad depth, looking at the squad that we have in front of us, you know, the transfer window's closed. We said there was no point talking about the squad until we got to September the 4th. This is the first pod since September the 4th. Stephen, how do you feel about the squad? Where to you is the strongest? They say obviously a squad is as strong as its weakest links. So looking
did
at
we say
it,
that?
Did you, yeah?
Who says that?
Who says
Phil.
It? Oh, you said it.
You're only as good as your
I have multiple
player.
Personalities, so they're all saying it to me.
Yeah, they're all telling
that
them at the minute.
That sounds like something that Lawrence would say.
Yeah.
They say you're only as strong.
He'd probably be funny about it, wouldn't he?
Yeah. But, Stephen,
where do I feel? I'm disappointed we didn't sign another centre half. Uh-huh. I am, just because I think we will. I hope we don't, but it's quite possible we could regret it at some point between now and Christmas. Maybe the club's intention is that between now and Christmas they try and smooth things over with Southampton, away from
the media,
away from the transfer window being open. And when it comes to January, they're looking and saying, listen, we have the centre backs there now to get us from now till January with the four players we have, and let's try and bring Van Dijk in. There's no fear about him being cup tied with regards to Champions League or any of that shit, so they might get the work done then. Hopefully. In saying that, we haven't signed anybody in this January. 2013 was the last time we signed a player that was actually coming in. We signed Grujic, who was coming in the summer. Yeah. But 2013, Coutinho and Sturridge, I think. Am I right in saying that?
Colcott, I think, as well, was the last.
No, not Coutinho and Sturridge. Sorry, I tell a lie on that. That was the year before.
And Klopp has always said that the players he wanted weren't available.
Yeah.
We know that Van Dijk, he wants Van Dijk. He wants... Yeah. So if he is available, then there's every chance he's going.
Well, Lamar, but it looks like Lamar is Coutinho's replacement.
In the summer.
Yeah, but coming back to our squad, and the reason I asked you this, Stephen, because we've had many a conversation and many discussion around squad and the type of thing, especially in the transfer window, how we should approach signings and the whole lot, right? Your biggest thing has been for the last 2 or 3 years was that you don't sign squad players, you sign first team players, and your first team players then become your squad players, and that makes your squad stronger. Now, looking at this window, have we done it the way you wanted it to be done, or are you still looking at instances of us buying a squad player as opposed to improving the first team?
I think Oxlade-Chamberlain is probably the only squad player we've bought, in the sense that Andy, up till you know, Moreno's fucking
renaissance
we didn't have a recognised left back. So Andy Robertson, regardless of what way you look at it, had to have been viewed as a first team signing because he's a recognised left back, an international player.
You'd still fancy him to make that position.
Over time. But even if he doesn't, I don't care, because it means that Moreno is playing well enough to be in there. So that's fine. Salah is without question a first team player. And an upgrade on what we had there. Oxlade-Chamberlain, I don't think is. But I didn't want him signed. I was quite vocal about that. But we've signed him now, so you have to give him a clean slate, and you have to say whatever he did with Arsenal, whatever views you had on him as a player, and what your feelings were as to why we shouldn't sign him or should sign him. He gets a clean slate now to see why was he signed by Klopp. Mm. Klopp clearly has an idea for him. Clearly sees a place for him in the squad and in the team. So give him a chance to come into that team and do whatever he can do. And if he doesn't come up to the grade, then so be it.
The promising thing is that a lot of club signings have actually turned out to be good. Yeah. Like, a lot of people didn't agree with the signing of Mane. He's been electric. Yeah. Wijnaldum, good in spots, but when he's good, he's really good.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Karius has struggled, but every other signing, you could basically say, like, it's more or less worked out. Like, we've Solanke, who's just replaced Origi as well. Mm. I think we're better off now than we were at this stage last year. I just think that the shit thing is, we're still like an injury from Matip or Lovren away from having Clavan in our back four. Mm. And that's the worrying thing for me.
Well,
and
about boys up until 2 weeks ago, everyone was calling for Clavan to be in ahead of Lovren.
Well, these things change, Phil, but at the end of the day, like, you still wouldn't have Clavan. Okay. Even as your four choice centre back.
Hypothetically,
he played way too many games last
Andy,
year.
Andy, asking you there, because you are a positive type of guy when it comes to these type of things, but like, are you happy enough with that squad? Would you have liked, and obviously everyone wants a different, would have liked another centre back, but is that the only area that you feel that we're deficient in, or is there something else we should really address?
Absolutely, like, I would have said that we needed a left back, probably expected a more recognised or a better left back than Robertson, although he could turn out to be a great player. So far so good, like the game he did play, and I like the look of him. Looking back at his games, all he looked like the type of, come hard to Mike, the type of centre back or left back that we needed. So after that, like, Salah's looks like a great signing. I never felt we needed a centre midfielder. I think I'd be disappointed to see Wijnaldum or Chan or Henderson drop down the pecking order. I think they're three very good centre midfielders. And then in the kind of 10 role, we have Lallana and we have Coutinho to play. So all the way up there, like, I think we're quite strong. It's only at the back you worry. Like, there's a few gambles, like whether with Klein out now, we're gambling on Gomez turning into a right back. We're depending on Trent improving a lot as a right back. They're not right backs.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, and then in the middle, obviously, was the area I felt we probably needed to buy two centre backs and just being Clavin all together.
See, I look at it and I say the for me, the next man in, if Lovren and Matip, say, picked up an injury, is you're going to lose Emery Chan out of the midfield.
Because he's going to go and play centre back.
Yep.
Well, I still think Clavin and Gomez are ahead of him.
I don't know. I don't get the sense, this is the bit that the problem for me is, I don't get the sense that Klopp sees Gomez yet as a centre back. Every time he's wanted to put him in, he's tried to put him in as a fullback.
And he's done well though.
I thought he did very well in his last game. Yes. I thought, looking at the last game, that was the best I've seen Gomez play in a long time, right? Yeah. And I was really happy with his performance. But at the same time, I'm looking at it saying, will he push him inside to centre back? Right? If he's grooming him to be backup right back, let's say, right? Or whatever it is, or alternate and the right back, they're two different positions. So then if you ask him to sit back inside, you ask him to change his mindset and change the way he's going to play. Yeah. Now, I'd prefer to see him, but so many centre-backs anyway start as full-backs and then move into the centre, right?
Yeah, which is quite natural. And like a lot of players start at right-back.
Yeah.
Gerrard started at right-back and he moved into the middle of the park. Mm. That's going to happen.
You have Milner helping go in there.
He's
going to move on. So at the moment, we've got two makeshift right-backs to cover that spot that Kloin has vacated now with injury.
Chamberlain played his best football for Arsenal.
As a centre-back?
As a right-full last year.
As a right-full.
As well. So
that's another option. Mm. So the only places we're lacking is centre-back. I feel like really badly. Kloin's going to come back eventually, and I'm hoping we're taking a bit of a gamble on the other two at right back.
I think we're taking a huge back.
Yeah, we're probably taking a gamble at left back as well. It's fair to say with Moreno, and then hopefully Robertson come in and take him to slack if need be. You can put Milner back there as well. There's a few options, but there is that thing where it doesn't really fucking matter who's playing centre back for us the way we play.
That sort of brings me onto the logic of potentially using one of your centre midfielders as a centre back, right? The way we want to play is more akin to a centre midfielder or a defensive centre midfielder, because we try to play so high, because we're trying to defend spaces that are behind us. Centre midfielders are used to trying to defend a ball over the top or a ball in behind them, because they're always turning and going out to attack the ball or whatever.
We were playing that way.
Yeah,
the high line. It's a little bit different now. We're trying to break, get our chances out early, and we're not like fanning the ball across the opposition's 18 yard for ages. We're putting the balls in a bit earlier. We're trying to get to the boy line quicker.
Yeah,
we're trying all that earlier. So you lose the ball, and then the other team, unless they're complete bottlers, they sit back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come on, and then the team retreat. They get into position, so it should be a little bit tighter. It's just when we are all bombing forward, we can get quite exposed. But I feel that this is a safer defensive strategy by just counter-attacking.
It's down to one thing,
though.
It's
the best of both worlds, really. You know,
like, does Klopp see, it depends how you look at it, because if Klopp sees this team having enough to get him through to January, then I agree. I think we have the squad to get through to January, and then he brings in a reinforcement. But history will tell you, we don't sign in January. So is he looking at this as a team to take him through all the way until the end of the season or the January? So if it's January, I think we have enough bodies. If it's till the end of the season, I think we will struggle big time.
Okay, look, that's one part of it, because to be quite frank, there's not much to talk about last weekend, so we're just trying to fill space, to be honest with you.
Well, let's talk about January then. I know it's a while off because we're only starting the season.
Hang on, will I ring Grizz and see what's going on?
Yeah, well, if we get a bit of info from
we'll ask him.
He has been on the fucking money also.
I tell you, the one thing about him is the amount
I doubted him at the start.
Yeah,
me too.
I can't believe
but the way we brought Van Dijk in and the way we brought Keita in to play this season.
Well, I can't wait to see Keita play against City now.
Yeah, well, there's
after that 70 million pound bid was accepted.
Doesn't the whole Milner being a midfielder, new midfielder, make a little bit more sense now that, look,
No, it's a terrible thing to say. He didn't say he's like a new midfielder, he said he's like a new signing.
Yeah, but what it is,
it's an awful, awful thing to say.
Klopp's not going to just sign a player to be a stopgap.
If Rodgers said that, you'd be going endless there. That
because Rodgers is a prick.
But see, there's a difference.
I would be going endless because I don't like Rodgers.
I think it's a huge gamble. I think going into the season the way we've gone into is a huge gamble. I think signing Chamberlain and not signing a centre back is madness.
Why is signing Chamberlain madness though? Like, I can understand.
No, so it's signing Chamberlain.
I don't think back is madness. But
signing Chamberlain didn't affect those
We signed Chamberlain, right, to fill no position in the first team, but to give us an option on the bench or give us an option in the squad. Yet we don't have a robust centre back amongst the four that we have.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I feel it'd be madness though if Klopp turned around and said, "Well, look, I couldn't get a centre back because they brought in Chamberlain," but that wasn't the case. Like, signing Chamberlain didn't affect.
You're telling me there's no centre back in Europe that was better than the four that we have at the moment?
There's no centre back in Europe that Klopp wanted more than Van Dijk.
Yeah,
and it's as simple as that.
But that isn't my point.
He didn't want a centre back. He wanted Van Dijk.
Exactly.
It's a case where he wanted Van Dijk, and
way he wanted Keita and he didn't sign. That's why there was no. It makes sense now. There was no alternatives to Keita and Van Dijk because he didn't want anyone else. And he was willing to wait to get to Keita. And I think it's the same with Van Dijk. And that's what we're
doing. And you think that's a good move?
No, I think that's a manager knowing exactly what he wants and not buying players for the sake of it.
So what's the point in having a sporting director then?
I don't know.
Okay.
Hang on a second. The sporting director is... A sporting director
it's
doesn't
not
have...
All him, Phil.
Well, it's not that. A sporting director doesn't have to have a set role.
Exactly.
So,
the sporting director
is supporting the manager. That's what the sporting director is there to do.
Any player that they do sign, they will come through me. So Klopp, they're obviously coming to the club saying, "Well, here's an alternative." And it seems to me he just says, "I want Keita and I want Van Dijk." Yeah. There's no alternatives. And we were all saying, "What the fuck is he being stubborn for?" And before we signed Keita, everyone was going, "What the fuck is going on?"
Yeah.
But now it's apparent. Look, I'll get Keita in next year. He'll come in. He'll be that midfielder that I need. Like you said, Lemar is Coutinho's replacement. Possibly. And we're still interested. So what's to say we're not trying to tie that deal over now for the summer?
How good would it be if after 5 years of signing nobody in January, you went out and brought Keita in early, bought Lemar, and bought Van Dijk?
Exactly.
And that's three signings that you go, if we're in the running at January and we go and do that.
A lot of people bang on about net spend. Like, I've seen that thing today. Like, since Klopp's come in, his net spend has been 29 million. And for how he's transformed...
Or an average per season.
No, on total. On total. So, how he's transformed that team in that amount of time with that little expenditure.
Well, I'm not asking you to explain me.
It's unbelievable.
I'm not asking you to explain.
There's not another manager in the top four point that could do that.
Sean, I'm asking you a question. As a fan, I didn't ask you on here to explain Klopp's opinion to me. I'm asking you for your opinion. Should we have signed a centre back?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so Klopp's wrong.
Yeah. But that's he's gambling in the past.
I don't want an explanation. I just asked you a question.
Well, who the fuck am I to tell Klopp?
I don't think Klopp's wrong.
Okay. Who am I to tell Klopp that he's wrong? Like, what the fuck do I know at the end of the day?
Again, you're entitled to have an opinion.
Yeah, but
and what happens at the end of the season if we don't achieve what we're set out to
then
achieve?
Then Klopp stands accountable for his actions, which was not signing the centre half or
but
not
you were saying
whatever.
The same all last year. After January when we didn't sign anyone. What happens if we don't make top four? And we fucking did.
Like, just a little.
We haven't won the league in 30 years or something nearly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Klopp's in the club 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a contract extension of a billion years now.
He's there till 2082.
He doesn't need
exactly
a league this year. We're desperate for a league. So we need Van Dijk now. We need Naby Keita now.
He has a plan.
We're thinking of City on Saturday.
He's thinking to himself of a young team, of a young squad. Like, if players like Trent coming up, and you know you have players that he might use in the future down the line, and he's also got two players in mind, Van Dijk, three players in mind, Van Dijk, Lemar, and Naby Keita, who thinks he fits in perfect into his jigsaw. If he'd be happy enough to,
sounds like a euphemism, if I'm honest, but
he might be happy enough to get to have a good run in the Champions League, get fourth again. Fourth's not going to be that hard to achieve this year either. And then next year,
fourth's not going to be that hard to achieve this year.
I'll tell you why now in a second.
Pre-planned answer. He's walked us into that one, hasn't he?
Which I don't see how it's going to be any easier than last year. I think it's going to be more difficult.
There's four positions. At the start of the season, you would have said there was six teams that was going to get one of them four, right?
Yeah.
Arsenal are pretty fucked.
I've heard Arsenal
and Tottenham being written off for every season for the last six seasons. And
Arsenal didn't get it last year.
And that's the first time in 20 years.
The situation's even worse now.
Well, that's right. You have to admit, Arsenal are a bag of shite at the moment. They are an absolute bag of shite at the moment.
But
Phil, nobody wants to play for Arsenal at the moment.
The best players want to leave.
Okay, we'll see.
Right. Anyway, the point being, there's five teams now that can get top four, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Spurs are quality, but I think we're better. They're playing in Wembley, which might hinder them a lot.
Might them a lot.
Well, am I? It doesn't.
It will.
You're not convincing me.
Now, playing in Wembley will hinder, I suppose, this season.
But will us not having Champions League football not hinder us because we didn't have to deal with Champions League or European football last year?
No, of course it will.
So then we've got issues.
But we look better now than we did last year, Phil.
We haven't
played Champions League football for over the course of 3 or 4 months, which takes the wear and tear on a squad.
Yeah, and now we almost have two quality players in every position. You could write down two teams, which are quite good.
It's six games over 8 weeks is all it is. That's all it is. It's six games over 8 weeks. So it's like I hear the Champions League story going out and out and out all the time. Oh, it's a big ask. We've added to that squad, and you're talking about. Well, injuries are chance. There's no way for us to say whether we will or won't get injuries. So if we are in a situation where we don't have injuries to our main two centre halves, everywhere else on that pitch, we're well stacked.
If we are as unlucky this year as we were last season with injuries, we will struggle.
Yeah, but that's okay. Like everybody can have a season like that. You know what I mean?
The biggest concern for me, I think they have two good players in every position. Apart from the two centre backs area, you should have four competent lads that can come in and out. The biggest problem is the lack of preparation for the league game at the weekend.
Yeah.
So we've six games now before Christmas that we're coming back and playing a league game straight after with no preparation. That could cause us problems.
There's five teams and English teams in the Champions League this year.
And they're all fighting for the exact same thing. The only one that aren't in it is Arsenal. They're in the Europa League.
They
still have to go away to poxy countries. Yeah. You know, and they're not going to fancy it. I think Klopp will prioritise getting top four again. And next year, if he has Van Dijk, Lamar, and we're jumping ahead. How does it even happen? But it does look like that Klopp fancies getting in. It's more important that he gets in the players as opposed to positions. If he had got a different centre back, it means Van Dijk's over.
Like you said.
If he had got a different centre midfielder, Naby Keita's over. Yeah. Well, he doesn't. If he had it for.
I know what you're saying there, but it doesn't have to be the case. We could have another centre half that comes in now, and then Van Dijk is signed, and we have four centre halves, and you move Clavin on.
Okay, Klopp spends an awful lot of time bringing players up to his philosophy, up to his.
Yeah, to play the way he wants to play.
So. You might see it as a complete waste of time. Like, he could have done it in January loads of times. He could have done it last January. But in his head, he was saying, I want Van Dijk.
Okay, I want you to hold those thoughts because... Right, then.
I had to put the cut in. What's this, man?
Right, so, look, moving on from the... what were we talking about there? Yeah, the squad size thing. Looking ahead to the season. Okay, we've got concerns around centre-back and the implication it has. And do you think we're going to get top four because the other teams that are going to challenge for us have as big of issues as ourselves?
Yeah.
So be it the Wembley pitch for Tottenham, Arsenal being the Wembley pitch for. I was watching way too much of fucking Galway winning the All Ireland coverage on the television. Now, every time I turned it on, it was like these mad coaches in a field fucking going mentless about a stick game. It was just I couldn't be dealing with that. I was just like, what's going on here?
Something we can talk about at the end. That's the maddest thing I've ever seen.
Right. Well, anything to deal with Gal people is fucking mad. Anyway,
to do with them.
Puck for it, yeah. I've never seen that.
Have you not seen it?
Cunts lashing the ball over the hills down. If you and they're like, we have to try and get it to the field in as little smacks as possible. Like, I reckon I'll get it down there in 12 smacks.
Sean, have you ever seen the throwing the rock down the road competition that goes on
the rock
west?
Bananas.
The ball's like,
Kerry, is it?
Yeah. Did I ever see it?
It's the most gorgeous thing ever.
I swear to God, it's a competition. Hundreds turn up to watch it. The lads get a stone in their hand, right? No, you can't launch it like a
quick. It has to be a roll, isn't it?
It's an underhand. Yeah, you have to roll the stone down the road.
Imagine there's some fella in this store. I see Pascal was there now for the last 42 years. He's won the stone throw. He throws a stone like no other man I've ever seen.
Cool Cullen used to do it off the back of his horse.
It's immense.
That's what they say in Kilcullen started this game. Like, who told you that?
Imagine Kilcullen there going, what do you play? He was talking to his mates. They were doing the version of the day trip back in the day, right? And he was going, what do you play?
Do you know what the matter is? And then it was on RTE. Like, do you ever see when you do the 24-hour news? I was just sitting there and it was running by. It was on lunch and walk. And I think these are all like a lot of mad fucking farmers playing it. And the next fall, like the person on the voiceover goes, and this year, because Kilkenny didn't actually get to an All Ireland final, the goalkeeper who's won 13 All Irelands the last 15 years decided to come down and give her a go. And the cunt was like Elvis Presley standing on the mountain. There was fucking
on the mountain.
There was women just running around with their tits out.
Crowds around him, like standing there. I think he greased up and all, and he's there, like, smacking the ball over the mountain, like, and
smacking the ball over the mountain.
If the ball goes in the bog, yeah. Bollocks and all. It's not like you get a bloody pitching wedge. This one's like, it's a mad.
Andy, do you reckon we could get smacking the ball with this with the
smacking
horn
the ball
and all. Smacking the ball and all into the war games?
We have so many sports to
for the war games.
Yeah, we've the
like smacking the ball over a mountain be a great war game.
And it's actually called poke fodder. Yeah, there's a name.
Poke fodder is in the community.
I think
games.
It means hit far.
Sorry,
poke fodder is in the community games. It's an actual thing. Niall Quinn won it. In the early
and if you don't believe 80s. this is Noel Quinn talking here.
No, this is an actual fact, because my mate Stephen Hyland actually won the puck fodder, and on the trophy was Noel Quinn's name and the year he won it. That's a true story. There you go.
Is the puck fodder not when they do the thing with the goal?
No,
puck fodder 100% is longest hit. They used to do it down in Mosny for the community games.
The longest hit out here.
Yeah, Schlitter. That's the puck.
Lovely hurling.
Yeah.
Well, come here.
And what was Kilcullen playing when he hit the ball into the wolf's mouth?
Probably.
Into the wolf's mouth?
Yeah.
He was just filling in the time in between.
Even on Irish tales, that's shy, Andy. Yeah. Like in Greece, they have Greek gods who fucking scrap
thunderbolts and lightning.
Break the earth in half.
Oh, there was a wolf fucking. A wolf roaming old town.
Was Kilcullen the giant?
Yeah, no.
Who was the giant?
His board fell off the wagon and whacked the head off the rock.
Fionn was a little fanny. Fionn
McHugh.
Yeah, Fionn McHugh was a fanny. He actually. That's what the Giants called
him. That's who
Theon. He ran away.
Theon Greyjoy is loosely based on him.
He fucking is. He ran away. McCool legged it and pretended to be a baby when the fucking big Scottish giant came over. Big Scottish giant said, "Who's this little cunt, Fionn? I'm going over.
Irish
joint.
I'm
going to go over to Ireland and sort that little prick out."
If there's any old Irish folklore ITKs out there, you need to get in touch. We can deal with them.
Grizzock McFionn Grizzock McCannock.
Graham O'Callaghan. Graham O'Callaghan.
Doggy O'Hondrick.
That's where you all live. It's like all them Muppets on Facebook who don't want their page to be found. They change their name into Irish.
Yeah. But Fionn McHugh pretends to be a baby when the Scottish joint turns
to be
up.
A baby. Yeah, Scottish joint was fucking way bigger than Fionn. Fionn in all these stories. Oh, Fionn McCool, he was a then this big Scottish cunt showed up, and he was like the fucking. It was like, if you
Fionn
McCool's
main name is Fintan Corley. They just sort of
Fintan Corley. Frank Corley.
Honestly, it was the most bizarre thing I ever watched. And then I was like listening to the commentary on the yoke the other day. He's like, the last time Galway fucking Waterford won the All Ireland. Michael Collins threw the slitter in at half time.
I mean, no potatoes.
The famine ships had only left the port.
Fucking.
You didn't see in the build up, because like for people who aren't Irish or live in Ireland, they do Up for the Game. It's a TV show.
Oh no, please. I'll go home if we're going to start talking about GAA. Fuck off. It's shite.
But no, the Horland is good.
It's not. It's all bollocks.
One of the features.
They're a fucking horrible organisation that I hope born to the fucking ground.
One of the features on Up for the Game were these two lads who had been at Crow Park for the last All-Ireland, right? And travelled there by donkey. And
see, pair of cunts. Right? Pair of absolute cunts.
So the whole feature was
they
remember it was Tommy O'Hall and he was him and you remember how we had the sandwiches on the way to Dublin with the donkey, right? Next minute,
cunts took them probably 4 days on their donkeys and everything.
Come here. They
just get the fucking bus.
They replicated the journey. The two boys set off from Waterford last Wednesday to come up to the All Ireland on the donkey again. That was a different donkey, obviously, because the donkey's dead. But yeah, two of them setting off, and that was the whole article. It was fantastic television.
I do think Lighton sent that back though.
It would have been brilliant if they came around the corner at the big tree on their two donkeys and an Arctic just milled them. Absolutely creased the two boys. Boom. Yeah.
season ahead. So Andy, you reckon we're going to cruise into the top four the season ahead because the other teams are more shit than and we're much better than we were.
I think go on.
Sorry, fucking jump Jimmy there.
At least now we're getting this crap, I'll jump in.
I just feel like in most positions there's players you can rotate. Okay, there's less time to prepare for the games of the weekend, but there's six teams we talk were fighting for fourth lad. Fuck off, Stable. The energy for this. Not to be now trying to kick a ball against a crossbar all day.
4 hours. Yeah. His leg is hanging off and he hasn't hit it once.
Come on. Press a play on the video again. Record.
Hamstring.
He ran through his battery for them. Okay, this is my first thing. This is my first attempt.
I 15 balls behind the crossbar. Don't win their balls behind the goal.
I'm going to try all my other attempts from the other side of the goal.
This is the first goal from this side.
Okay, take one. Action. Legs wobbling up to the ball. I can't kick another ball.
I can't believe Jamie went down to a goal today with the young.
That was February.
No, that was fucking February, months ago. And the cunt didn't hit that first time. Okay, first time. Yeah, sure it was, pal.
Right, we'll try again. Andy.
Fucking bad meth. He's a bad meth, him.
Andy, why are we going to win the league?
I think we are going to win the league. Because reasons. We're going to definitely win the league.
Reasons.
Oh fuck off.
You give me reasons why we're not going to win the league.
We probably aren't strong enough just yet to, no. I don't know.
We don't have enough centre backs. Our goalkeeper's manure.
Yeah, it could be down to listen, we could win the league. I don't know. I don't fucking know. It's too hard to call because United have started really strongly, but they're not going to continue that. They're going to have a wobble. Everybody's going to have a wobble.
They played three shy teams.
Yeah, they're true. Chelsea had their wobble early enough in the season. And even at that, it wasn't really a wobble. Didn't they win their first three games and then have a wobble?
And then didn't win for three games or something like that.
No, they lost their first game.
Did they? Because I saw somebody saying the other day that Chelsea won their first three. Swansea beat them. And I was thinking to myself, they played Liverpool fairly soon in the season. Like, it was early September, I think, that they played Liverpool and Henderson scored that goal. Mm. So maybe I was just believing somebody else's shite.
Sure, City won that first 10 last year.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, which was insane,
I think. So.
Well, anyway, do you think we can win the league?
I think we always have a chance to win the league because there's not one team that stands out. Like, at the start of last season, you know, I backed Chelsea as an outsider rather than I just backed them because they were decent value, not because I actually thought they'd win the league. I backed them in Newcastle. And this year it's the same sort of thing. You're looking at it going, okay, so Chelsea, I think, went in as favourites, didn't they? And you're looking at City. It could be anyone. Could be anyone in that six.
Shawnee?
No, I don't think we win the league. But I think we'll be more than 1 point ahead of fifth this year.
Really?
I think we'd be closer to second than we were to fifth.
I'll tell you why I don't think we can win the league.
And I think that'd be seen as progress, to be honest with you.
I think we won't win the league because I genuinely believe we get out of the group stages of the Champions League.
We had a very, very good season last year. When you look at our points total for the end of the season, right? Andy's show, and it's one I'd agree with as well. 2 points per game gets you Champions League nearly every single year, right? And that's 76 points over the course of a season. It's very hard to get more than 2 points a game over the course of a season.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, it's very, very how many teams, on average. Yeah, absolutely.
How many teams generally end up with more than 80 points? The ones who end up with more than 80 points are either first and second.
Yeah, are we 7 points from
the first three?
Considering we took we took 2 months off last season as well and still managed to scrape forward to tell you how good our start was.
Yeah.
Like, and if it wasn't for like a Chelsea record-breaking run, we would have had a record-breaking run as well.
So the way you're looking at it is we've 35 games left and 23 wins. Brings us Champions League football again, more than likely. So that leaves you 12 games to fuck up in.
And another thing as well.
And if it's a draw, then that's adding to the total. Yeah.
When we qualified for the Champions League in the group stage, a thing I picked up on that club set, he says, how does Champions League football help you sign players? He goes, it helps you sign players if you're doing it consistently.
Yeah, you have to be doing it year on year. Thing, and that's how Arsenal signed. Yeah. That's how Arsenal were able to sign play
Sanchez.
Like, so, well, even this season they were able to sign Lacazette, even though he went out and said, "I want to play Champions League football." Because players, okay, things have gone tits up for them since then. But what I'm saying is, you're looking at someone like Arsenal. If Juve fail to qualify for Europe this
season,
they're
not going to struggle.
They're not going to struggle next summer because people will say it's a blip. Yeah. We're not the blip. The blip for us is qualifying, not qualifying.
28 wins the league.
Yeah,
from here, 30 wins get you 90 points.
Yeah,
that's what you want to look at.
Yeah,
if you want to look at winning the league, that's what I'm talking about. Well, we need to win 28 games from here. From our remaining 36 games, we have to win 28 games.
I think we lose less than 5 games.
What
this
would
season.
Be class success for me is if it's April and we can turn around and say we're still in a running for the league and we're not fighting for top 4. Where as well.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, that does.
It's
point of being
the little gay cliche, reach for the fucking stars, land on the whatever. No, we'll be closer. If we're looking to win a league in April, more or less, we'd be. Then I went 13 and 14, we were on the run. We beat Norwich, remember?
Yeah.
And then it was like, you secure Champions League football, that's the objective. But nobody gave the bollocks. Everyone was like, no, we want to go on and
don't
win the league.
Slip.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So,
no, absolutely.
Don't let the slip.
I think from that point of view, I think we probably draw less games than last season as well. I think that's where the likes of a Salah and a fit Mane for the season, and Firmino yet again,
that's
growing
another
into
thing.
That,
no
growing
AF,
into
no
that
AFCON
role.
This year as
yeah,
well. Like.
Absolutely. Well, we'd be fucked if there was, because we'd be losing both
of
them.
If Coutinho comes back in and he's prepared to play and give it 100%, yeah. If we can keep Coutinho.
Yes. Okay, Colin.
I'm not talking to the rest of this pod.
Here's Coutinho. Philippe Coutinho.
Look at my now cell pack. No one has the.
It's coming straight for me. Exterminate. Philippe Coutinho.
Go on, Andy,
what were you saying?
Forget now. You did love it for the season.
Before you sound like a Bond villain.
Yeah. No, like with that, we have really got a good squad now.
Do you know what's actually, as much as people bang on, more important to us than anything else is if we can keep Lovren and Matip
fit
in the game for a long run of games.
Yeah. Lovren and Matip were in the game for last year, every time they played together, they conceded less than a goal.
Exactly.
If Lovren and Matip play 32 league games, we'll get our 28 wins from here.
I agree.
The funny thing is, though, I think Clavin has the best win rate out of all three.
Yeah.
So we do shit ourselves over Clavin coming in, and I can understand that for certain games. I think what we maybe need to do is be sensible where we use them.
I think the hyperbole about how bad their defence is well over exaggerated.
When Lovren and Mata played together, they hardly lost a game.
So we've 7 clean sheets in our last 9 Premier League games, and that's not bad for a team who was a rubby defence.
Yeah.
When you look at it that way, you know.
I think they were only beaten once or twice.
That's not bending stats to be make it like that's just.
Well, fucking, that's just like they fucking played games together and they didn't lose.
They have a partnership.
They do have a partnership.
We talk about all the shit. Of course, they're upgradable because they're not the best defenders in Europe. Mm. So, I don't want to see either of them taken out of the squad, really. Unless we have 4 better players than them, which isn't likely to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with them being there. The likes of Van Dijk coming in, maybe somebody else coming in, and that being our 4. And then you're not worried about who comes into the team at any one point.
So now we were talking about the squad earlier on the pod. We're top heavy now, and I've absolutely no problem with that.
Yeah.
Because if we do happen to collapse in January, we'll have requisite cover there to make sure that we're still actually able to play the type of football that we want.
Which we couldn't last year.
Last Mane last year, like that was literally all our pace and goal gone out of sight. Whereas if Mane drops out this year, we've Salah it. And then even Chamberlain, although he hasn't got the end product, he still gives you that outlet of pace.
Okay.
You still put, like, especially with teams sitting back, if you get a chance, you want to make them be running backwards.
Exactly.
There's nothing to say that we can't help Chamberlain to get that
100%.
End product as well.
Klopp's a better coach than Wenger.
But he's a better coach than Wenger now. I heard a lot of people, even the lads on the Fat Back Four last night, talking about how Wenger, it's a myth that he coaches youth. It's not a myth,
but a lot of players have regressed.
He hasn't done it in a while. So he's a coach that has gone stale. He's 23 years at that club. Yeah. Name another manager that lasted 23 years. Apart from Ferguson, I can't think of anybody else who managed to keep himself.
The way I see it with Chamberlain is we're taking him out of a toxic environment there, to be honest. Because at the end of last year...
Dynamo Kiev manager. Do you remember the fella, the body fella?
In a Ukrainian
league.
My point is that you were the very person that belittled Brendan Rodgers' achievements when he went unbeaten last season because you said it was a shite league.
No, I didn't believe it. I said it was a shite league.
And the Ukrainian league is shite as well. So
my actual statement was it doesn't matter what the league is, to go unbeaten in any league is an incredible achievement.
I think that was my statement. We've taken
Chamberlain out of a toxic environment that
you said talk about Chamberlain. That was at the very start of the fucking pod.
Because you started talking to
you went back into Chamberlain. I don't care about Chamberlain.
We're taking him out last week. And he's a rocket up his hole now, and he's going to play by Klopp.
Sounds like he played shite tonight.
Well, he's not playing by Klopp. Could you go up to play with Gareth Southgate? I'd rather go up on a fucking Monday morning than play for that cunt.
Yeah, so it just keeps excuses for Chamberlain.
He hasn't played a game yet.
He did. He played against us last week and he was shy.
I was actually... I really, really didn't want Chamberlain, as we all know. But I loved his tweet.
Yeah.
His tweet was magic. It's the one where he says, "We beat Arsenal."
Did he actually do that?
You say that, you spam.
No, he did. I wrote it.
Was that? I don't think he said that.
No,
though,
really. He didn't.
Did you? One other thing. We've talked about the Premier League, but the Champions League. First time being in the Champions League in 10 years, and it's like it's great.
Shy group, Europa
League
group.
Don't even mention the last time we were in the Champions League. That was a fucking cat's abortion.
We got Europa League.
We were in it.
Jose Enrique, John Glenson, leaving Coutinho and Lallana on the bench.
Skirtle
in a must win game in Anfield. Fuck off.
Brad Jones on the bench.
That never happened.
Good times.
It didn't happen.
That was mad, wasn't it?
But Klopp's record in Europe is second to none. Even when he came in and he was in the Europa League, he gets his Europa League final.
Well, it's second to Ancelotti.
Ancelotti's not in our league.
Yeah.
But all joking aside, are we looking forward to the Champions League campaign?
Should win the group outright.
I don't think we have a right to win any group in
we should be winning that group.
I think we'll come out of the group. Yeah. I think we have the ability to top it.
I'd be disappointed if you didn't win.
I don't look at any of the other three squads and think they have a better squad than us. Sevilla have more European experience than us. They proved it in the fucking Europa League final 2 years ago. They are perennial fucking Europa League winners. And now that means they go into the Champions League. They qualified outright last year, didn't they?
It's their easiest way to get into the Europa League final is to get into the Champions League.
Yeah, get into the Champions League and then go to the Europa League, win the Europa League, get back into the Champions League.
Hold on, what do we have to do to finish third here?
So I think we've enough to get out of that group. We should have enough to get out. It's a failure if we don't get out of the group with the squad of players we have.
No. I don't think, and if we do get out of the group, I don't think any teams would be massively
wanting
happy
to play us over
to
two
to
legs.
Play us in the way we're playing.
There's only a couple of teams in Europe who don't fear anyone.
Yeah. Juve and Real.
Yeah.
And probably
Bayern. I think Bayern can be got.
I'd say Paris Saint-Germain don't fear anyone anymore. They're wrong, not
because they never get to the final.
They have a big time mentality in that team now, and
they have the same sort of mentality that our top end Rafa teams had.
Yeah,
which was every year you go in, you go, I don't give a fuck who we get. Yeah. Doesn't matter. We'll come up against
them. We're as big as them.
Yeah,
we're as big as them. And to be fair,
and they're right.
To be fair, I think Klopp imbues that mentality into his teams in Europe as well. Yeah. We went up. We had a hard run that run to the Europa League final. We played Villarreal. We played Borussia Dortmund. You know, like they were big teams to play against at the time, and we played a Dortmund team that was flying under Tuchel. This was before all the trouble started happening in the camp with him. And we went and we got through all those legs. And I think that our team definitely relishes the big toys. Yeah. Like you could see it against Arsenal.
Hoffenheim, 20 minutes.
Did Tuchel take over anywhere?
No.
Tuchel is still...
waiting for the Arsenal job.
I reckon he'll go to Chelsea quicker.
Yeah,
he is renowned now as being a difficult man to work with. When he left Mainz, the Mainz sporting director said, I'd be amazed if you last more than two seasons at Dortmund.
Yeah, well, how the fuck is he going to last with that board down at Arsenal?
Well, I'm just
because they last at Arsenal because as much they don't interfere the way Chelsea do.
No.
Like Chelsea, like look at that, yeah. Mourinho gone after winning the league. You know, Tuchel, Conte on the verge of walking out.
And Tuchel wanted more control than Zorc was prepared to give him in terms of transfers.
He doesn't have a director of football at Arsenal.
And everything like that. So he could potentially walk into Arsenal and
get what he wants.
Get what he wants.
All of them, Jamie Mann, just that young, think that deadly, but they're all a little wankers.
David Wagner is the
he's
best.
He's already. How many Wagner points, sound.
How many points get you out of a Champions League group?
12.
It's 11, isn't it? It's three home wins.
I think
draw.
10 takes you out of that group.
Yeah, 10 take us out of the group.
So the fixtures haven't felt too bad for us. No. When you consider home, the first game's at home against Sevilla.
Yeah, you take 3 points. It's very important to take 3 points there because they're your main rivals. Yeah,
they've
got to beat them at home and try and get a draw.
Then you have to go
away.
To Moscow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so that's out of the way as well then. You know what I mean? You're getting that out of the way early.
Who's
got
a team? Maribor,
is it? The great thing is they play Maribor twice.
Maribor
in a row.
In the middle.
They play
two Maribor matches. That should be our 6 points.
We could have 10 points at the end of that.
Yeah.
That'd be enough.
You could beat Sevilla.
Before we have to go to Sevilla.
Yeah, you could beat Sevilla. You could draw with Moscow away and take your 6 points. I know you're getting ahead of yourself, but take your 6 points off Maribor. There's your 10.
Basically, you're looking at going to... You're looking at going to Sevilla with the idea of being able to win the group.
Yeah,
you're going to Sevilla last game, aren't you?
No, I think Moscow at home.
Would it not be if Sevilla's first? Would they not be last as well?
No, they changed the format around.
Oh, right, I didn't know. Sorry,
it's like the bleeding stupid penos now. Fucking
right.
Anabolic.
Okay. But no, they had to make sure that all the Russian fans were coming to England on the same day. So when we go to Russia. United are playing Moscow on the day before us or the day after us, right? So Moscow are playing CSKA and we're playing Spartak on the same match day.
Is that to spread out the
That's just to cause carnage in the world, basically.
Yeah. Is it actually smarter to do it that way so that you can't, because you can imagine.
Well, you may as well knock the bollocks out of them all in the one.
No, what I'm saying is you dilute the hooliganism. So if you've got, I'm not being stereotypical about Russian hooligans.
Called synergy, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're looking at a lot of Russian fans seeing a group of English arriving. So whether they're fucking CSK and Moscow fans or whether they're whatever fans, Zenit St. Petersburg, they might just fancy coming down and bashing a few fucking Brits.
Well, if we win our first three games, and then I reckon that's when North Korea starts setting off nukes. So we might just go straight to the day
before we win the league, North Korea just drop a load. That'd be Liverpool all over.
I'd insist the game was played. I insist the game is played, right?
Yeah, if you have to play the game in fucking North Korea, play it.
Listen, Kim, if you're listening, no fucking bombs until after we've picked up the trophy, right? We've waited 27 years for it, okay?
They'd seriously want to fuck off about messing.
They would. Fuck off with that.
How far? So, do we win the Champions League?
Yeah.
Okay.
How far can we go?
Yeah.
Like, I think group out of the group stages, and after that, it's a lottery. You know, if we get
to the quarters, I think it's a very good achievement.
Absolutely, yeah. It is. If we got a reasonable draw in the second round, then you're looking at into the quarters then, and you're saying, it doesn't matter then. You're saying at the point of getting to the quarters, you're sort of saying, listen, it doesn't matter what happens from here. We're along for the ride.
No, that's your part.
Of course, no, sorry. When I say it doesn't matter, what I mean is it can't be viewed as any sort of failure once you get there.
Looking back or looking forward, but if they get to the quarter final,
you'll want them to win
over my shoulder.
Yeah. So if you're in the mix with probably the last eight teams, the best eight teams in Europe, that's probably your level. You're saying to yourself,
that's a massive leap from where we were.
Exactly,
what that does is that's when you start to attract players. Players look and go, well, they got to the quarters last year, and they're back in it again this year.
We can go.
This is maybe we take the next step again.
You know, with Barcelona, like. Napping, like it was not like for United when they were dominating, it was an awful time to be doing that because Barca were flying in Europe.
Yeah,
they probably had to play the best Barca team ever.
It's probably a good time to get back into the Champions League where there's no real guarantees. Like it is a toss up between
this Real team are very good.
Real are brilliant.
There's three teams that you're kind of worried about. I still think PSG have, with all their great players, they still have the ability to be soft bellied and be turned over, be bashed by somebody. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it wouldn't surprise me that Liverpool could be the sort of team that could go out and could be 3-0 up on
20 minutes,
them. Yeah, 23, and they don't strike me. Maybe I'm being unfair to them. They don't strike me as the sort of team that when they're 3-0 down.
Do you know what I think goes against PSG as well?
Although they did that against Barca, didn't they?
That stage of the Champions League is like the quarters and the semis. They normally have the league wrapped up.
Yeah.
So I think That kind of going into them intense games from just trotting along in the league, like, it's not.
That's the killer with Monaco having weakened so much.
Yeah.
You know, Monaco were actually putting it up to them in the league where they didn't get an easy run of it last season.
Okay. Yeah. So we reckon out of group stages and then wherever we land, whatever type of draw we get in the second round, determines more or less whether we make the quarters.
Yeah, because there'll be surprises in other groups.
Yeah.
And if that team you didn't expect to get out of the group gets out and you happen to get them or whatever way.
It's
it
all
runs,
in the look of the fucking draw.
Like, there's a couple of teams, isn't Juve and Dortmund in the same group and all?
Yeah, like there's, know, there's a couple of groups.
Come on, first or second.
Doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter.
You could get a horrific
Real
team
are in
a second
group
seed.
With another
Dortmund and Spurs.
Is it Dortmund and Spurs? Yeah, I love the fact that Spurs were saying this is a great group.
Who's Juve? Juve
in a
Bayern
group as well.
Bayern, yeah. Celtic, and Napoli are some mad fucking.
Okay,
I fancy us to do well.
No, that's grand because you reckon we're going to win it. I have you at the very start of that discussion thing. I'm not going to talk about the City game because we leave that up to the lads on Thursday to talk about it, right?
Anyone can get me tickets for that City,
shout out if there's any tickets.
Right, so just to wrap up the pod tonight.
Nice one, Phil. If I couldn't have me plug. A
couple of trippers chats. Yeah, I know. Yeah, shut up. anyway, the first one is very topical. Jay Reid asks. If we can walk out to a team music for the War Games, what will it be? Andy, what are you walking out to? Into where Skill Zone, what song is blaring across the radio as you walk in to face the first challenge?
Stone Roses, This Is The One.
Oh, that's nice.
My War Games.
That's a belter.
That's what you're walking into.
Yeah.
Are you going to have like
I've been waiting for this for 55 years.
The oldest tripper in the book.
Yeah, This Is The One. I'm going to smash years up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve-o?
I'm going to walk out to Sexy Boy Shawn Michaels WWF music.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Probably Ain't That Sandman Metallica.
Yeah, Sean, you weren't in the War Games.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
It's for over
40s. I paid in.
It's for old dudes.
For the smokies.
For over
25s. Yeah. Over 25s. You know your church is late.
Yeah. 3D.
unlucky there.
What are you going for, Phil?
I'm going to come out to My Lovely Horse.
My Lovely Horse.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
What about Dominic the Donkey?
That would be the Christmas one. Somebody did mention it to me today. Would we not have sort of heats for the World Games amongst the whole Trippers crew and then have a final joint World Games where we do four men per heat and then we can determine once and for all who is the greatest Tripper at World Games?
Not a bad shout.
Well, I don't really like the idea of people interfering with my World Games. So keep
is this the War Games or the fucking Hunger Games?
I suggest they keep their fucking thoughts themselves.
Keep your opinions to yourself.
If you want to get your own War Games,
off you go.
But they can't be called the War Games because that's already
World
been taken.
Games.
You're like the last boss in a fighting game. Like, if it's not all good,
and he's like your man in the fucking
Sean,
Hunger Games.
Go on, if we let you come into the War Games, what would you walk out to?
I'd tell you to shove up your bollocks.
Yeah, stick out War Games for your hole.
Right, what song are you singing in karaoke on a night out? Ali Thompson, our best friend, asks.
Oh, no, everything She Wants, Wham.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Great show.
That was the song that you were conceived to.
No, it wasn't, because that was out in the 1880s and
the
I was
1880s.
Born in the 90s, and me and my dad never had a radio, so
the radio
that wasn't the blaster. Song because it was conceived in a power strike.
But they had
the reason my dad got the jockey.
Andy,
Forever in Blue Jeans.
Neil Diamond, is it?
Mm. Neil Diamond?
Yeah.
Do you want to give us a bar of it there?
No.
Are you singing it up in front of a load of people but not to a mic?
Drunk.
What's yours, Steve?
Come into the mic first, Steve.
What? Michael with Wicked Games by Chris Isaac.
Oh.
Fuck off, can you sing that?
Go on for it.
Don't doubt me.
Give me a bar. What a blatant song.
Andy's going to be the weird guitar.
No.
Do you ever see your man Chris Isaac? I can't look at him for too long.
I can play it on the guitar and sing it.
Why don't you sing
it
now?
Because I don't want to. Why didn't you sing fucking?
Because you know what? Because good singers don't do karaoke. Because you turn around and say, "Fuck that karaoke."
We're too good for this.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I'm not. I'm a man of the people. I give them what
do
they want.
Do the song.
No.
Why?
Because I don't want to.
That's not a
reason. Tell you what I'll do. When I win the World Games,
when something that never happens
on camera, I'll do a karaoke version of Wicked Game.
So you're that confident you won't win the World Games, there'll be no song.
No, I'm that confident I'll actually bring my guitar to Skillzone.
How about if you don't win the World Games, you do? Okay. How's about that?
Okay. As a forfeit.
What about okay. you?
Are you saying we need to bring forfeits in for losing the World Games?
If I'm doing a forfeit, everybody else has to have one already pre-agreed.
Okay.
Like, you've already lost the cross. No, fuck off eating a mushroom.
No, that's the worst thing we could ever do.
Imagine mushroom.
I'll cook you a pan of mushrooms and you have to eat the whole pan of them.
No.
You have to.
I'll eat one mushroom.
No, you'll eat the pan.
Hallucinogenic mushrooms.
No. What sort of mushrooms? Are
you going with Elton John's Crocodile Rock?
You're going to sing that for us.
What?
You're going to sing that first.
I don't even need alcohol to sing that song.
Go for it.
But actually, I've sang loads of songs on this fucking podcast, so yeah. It's not going to make a blind bit of difference whether I sing it or not.
Let's sing this one.
What? The Crocodile Rock one? I'll do it at the start of the
podcast. You're going to start it?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. What's the first line? I know the first line. Do you know the first line?
Yeah,
never even heard of it.
I've sang it drunk at weddings.
I remember when we were young.
Me and Susie had so much fun, holding hands and skimming stones. Had an old gold Chevy and a place of my own, but the biggest kick I ever got was doing a thing called a crocodile rock. When the other kids were rocking round the clock, we were hopping and bopping to the crocodile rock. Well, croc rocking is something shocking when your feet just can't keep still. I never knew me a better time, and I guess I never will. Whoa, a lot of mama those Friday nights when Susie wore those dresses tight to wear. Crocking was a
he's a talented young man.
Tickle his walls and stop him.
The Crocodile Rock.
The Crocodile Rock.
Any more of those stripper chats?
No, I'll leave it at that.
All right.
Phil, it's about halfway.
Right, thanks for listening. This is the outro. Big thanks to Shawnee, to Andy and Steve-O for coming in. Big thanks as ever to Skillzone for sponsoring the Monday Club. As we say, get down over there. A great bit of crack. Get a group of lads over. Get a group of girls over. Something to do at the weekend or just for a day out or a night out or whatever you want. Big thanks as ever to the lads for coming in tonight and the Astro Park for letting us do it here. We're talking this next week.
Sorry about the 8-minute outro.
While we sort out the World Games.
Bye.
Goodbye.